Tuesday, October 4th, 2016, at 6.02 p.m. Citizen comments. If none, we'll move on. Minutes for correction approval for September 6th, 2016. Any questions? If not, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, on new business. EDC 2016-49, building permit report for August 2016.
Okay, in August, we had 14 single-family detached homes, 8 build program homes, and 5 commercial program building permits issued. That brings the total, at this point, up to 100 on the button. But as of, this is a little spoiler for next month, but as of right now, we're at 133 homes issued, and we have 5 more that are pending. So, and of those 5 pending, I think 3 were approved today. I got through 3, yes, last night. So we have 2 more that I'm working on this tonight, and then that'll be, it's pretty busy.
Awesome.
I'd like to just add that last month I got a call from Menards, like the general manager there, and he wanted to let me know that their business is up, like, over all the other Menards in the area, like 30%.
He stopped me in the halls of Menards as I'm shopping.
Oh, wow.
He came up to me. He's like, "You're Carl Colosimo?" Yeah. "I wanted to thank you for passing the bill program." I said, "I ain't passing it." And I voted against it every time. He's like, "Well, don't," because it's, and he told me the same thing.
Yeah, and he said he attributes it directly to the build program because there's no other explanation for it. That people are going there, it might not be contractors, but it's the people that are coming in, and they're going there to do improvements or, you know, do some things in their homes.
Well, they directly benefit also because their subdivision directly behind there. Prairie Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Every piece of material that goes in those houses that are built there, and there's been 3 so far, and there's a third one going up right now, so 2, and then there's 1 going up right now, and there's another one scheduled, I guess, for later this year. Every piece of material comes from that Menards.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so they're up, like, I don't know, was it like 30%?
They're up 30%, their visits and their sales.
Yeah, over both. All the Menards in the area.
Yeah, and no other Menards is coming close to
And they're trying to figure out, well, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And he says the only difference is that we have a build program here where people are actually using our store.
How does Home Depot factor into that? They're not getting it? Or maybe it's because of what Pete was saying, I don't know.
I think Home Depot is, you see more contractors at Home Depot.
Yeah.
You see more homeowners at Menards. So I think, I would think that the Menards bump would probably be due to either all the new homes in the area. I mean, if you put 133 new homes in an area, that's going to...
That's what he said. It's not necessarily the construction. He said it's the people who buy the house and
right.
come in.
Mm-hmm.
They build a deck or
yep.
they add a
yeah.
this or they
yes.
change it. You know, everything that people buy when they build a house, mm-hmm. it's that stuff.
And
right.
again, I will tell you about probably 90% of the decks we see are all spec'd out by Menards because Menards is a really excellent program where they can actually spec it all and print it, and it's almost always to code. So then actually when they talked to one of their guys at the construction desk, we had gone over some of the little quirks their computer system had that made it where it was not to code, so they modified that, and now everything they submit, I can look at it, review it, and it's pretty much easier to pass that way because there's a couple tweaks we had to do from their system.
Mm-hmm.
But we see a lot of that, and it makes it really easy for the homeowner. They just look at Menards, I want a 20x20 deck, and this is what it is. And they punch it all in the computer, and it prints out an exact material list and spec sheet and drawing and everything.
Hmm. Yeah, I told him that he should contact you and see her. And he's like, "Well, I don't want to, you know, think that I'm disappointed." And I said, "Well, I mean, you should just let her know how you feel." So that's probably why he stopped. You know.
That's fine. Trust me, it's going to take a lot more than that. It hurt my precious little heart.
I sent him a picture so he knew what he looked like.
They probably had all the
security checking. Yeah. Security is watching right now.
They had the picture as I walk in. So be sure.
That's exactly what happened, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Well, if you think about sales tax, how it went up in that June of 2016 was higher than December of 2015, and that's never happened. It's like direct correlation. So,
to construction,
yeah,
and it's just in Yorkville too.
It is just in Yorkville. There's no Menards having what's happening in Yorkville.
Okay, any other questions with that? If not, move on to EDC number two, EDC 2016-50, building inspection reports for 2016.
Okay, we had a pretty busy month. I want to say overall, we had 404 inspections for the month. Vast majority of them were tied directly to new homes, new houses, and quite a few decks and stuff like that, homeowner accessories, things at the tail end of spring, summer, fall. So we actually started doing the inspections at the Dunkin' Donuts on the south side of town during this period, so those would account for most of the commercial inspections. But nothing ridiculous or anything out of the ordinary. Just a good high volume.
Any questions? Okay, move on to item number three, EDC 2016-51, property maintenance reports for August 2016.
We heard 29 cases in the property maintenance adjudication process. Vast majority of these are repeat offenders, especially the ones on Eustis, which we're continuing to cite and keep track of while we're trying to address it in other fashion. The biggest one we actually got something accomplished at was the Westbury Village up there across from the water park. If you've driven by the way, you've probably noticed that there's no longer 12-foot tall weeds and volunteer trees everywhere and trash.
They sent a couple of people out there with the trash guys, right, to pick all that up?
Well, what ended up happening was is we finally, after speaking to like the four or five different owners that have been owners out there, there's finally an owner that actually sees some value in keeping the property nice. And the reason why they were found liable and fined was because, actually, at this period, directly after that, the property transitioned to another, to a different entity, and that entity is one of the hired Four Seasons Landscape to go out there. Talking to Fred Davis, apparently there was actually two boats out there that we knew about, and two that we didn't know about that were actually in the weeds.
Oh, my God.
So they actually had dragged all the trash.
Dumped them there?
Yeah, people just dumped everything. There was probably, from what he told me, there was 155 yards of waste, just garbage, taken out of there. And that was after it all been piled up in the middle of the street and smashed with the excavator down flat, and then basically folded it over as many times as they could to get it as compact as possible, and then loaded dumpsters. So that
he showed me a picture of him shoving a boat into a 30-yard dumpster.
Yeah. So yeah, it was quite an interesting process, and then they had to go out there and fell all the volunteer trees. So it was quite a lengthy thing, and I think Fred said it was in the ballpark of $50,000 just to do that cleanup.
Wow.
Yeah. But they do have a contract to relatively maintain it, and we've told them that as long as they are out there, we won't demand it every week, but we would hope to see it every couple months at least to be taken care of.
Right.
So that was a 5-year project we finally got accomplished with that getting done, so hopefully it stays that way.
So there's some big amounts on some of these, huh?
Yes, sir. If you notice, the largest amounts would probably correlate to Eustis Street and the other ones on Stagecoach.
Mm-hmm.
Those are anything that's that high. Those are chronic violators that have not been in compliance or attempted to come in compliance within our time of record. One of these owners I know has several properties that we continuously cite, and he came to one hearing and said that it wasn't possible to cut it, but Public Works had been cutting it until they trashed a $10,000 mower on a fence that was hidden. So we can't cut it anymore, and he won't cut it, so it just gets to this point, and I just saw the hearing officer, this person's been in violation for excess of 5 years, and then we recommend the maximum penalty, which is $100 per day per lot. Mm-hmm. And per violation, depending on how many lots there are. But yeah, so we don't recommend all we can do. We don't set the fines. All we do is recommend if and let them know the case history. And hearing officers, that's their findings.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns?
Okay. No, I'm good.
Okay, we want to item number four, EDC 2016-52, Economic Development Report.
So, first I want to talk about the downtown. Hannah's here. We have been working on her building and I really encouraged her to come forward and talk about doing an inducement letter because she's putting a lot into her building, and I think there's great potential for her building, and want to make sure she gets every advantage possible for what she's putting into that building to really bring it up to where it needs to be to make it attractive. Also, Minor Threat continues to do their work. Things are going well, you know, getting ready, starting to prepare for restaurant number two over there. And I continue to work with Imperial Investments on their properties that they have. And so they're kind of finalizing, looking at what they're thinking could be built on the bank site and on the former farm. What do we call that?
FS
property, yes. I had a blank moment. South of town, I wanted to report that, you know, Dunkin' Donuts obviously is underway. I actually found a gas station user, a gentleman that actually owned the two Shells in Yorkville prior to them being sold to Circle K. And we were in a meeting together, and he said, oh, I loved Yorkville, and I really wish I would still own those gas stations in Yorkville. And I said, oh, you can own a gas station again. So he came down with his son, and we went and saw the site over by the Dunkin' Donuts.
So it's the one next to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, and he's very interested. So
I thought the individual that was building the Dunkin' Donuts had already planned a gas station there.
They planned it, but they were not going to. Well, actually, it wasn't Dunkin' Donuts that did the development. Mm-hmm. Dunkin' Donuts was the
tenant.
Right, and he was putting another a gas station next to it.
But it was a proposal with, as he said at the time, talking with several different.
So he never had it anymore.
He never had one.
Okay, I was assuming he had someone else going in there too.
The site is planned for it, and it's already been approved through the special use process and for other uses like a tavern. So it's entitled. It just doesn't have an individual.
Oh, I thought he had someone to go in there. Okay.
That's what he said. Yeah. Three or four that he's talking to.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was
three between the lines. I don't have anybody.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, sometimes you got to read between the lines, okay? So, but anyway, I actually found this man, and there he was. And so I was like, hey, let's do this, and he was literally down here, and we went and saw the site, we walked out of the site, we met with the, I think his name is Pete, that's the construction supervisor over there for GES or whatever it is, and looked at the plans, and he's like, yes, he was leaving to go to Peru on Saturday, not Peru, Spain, so he's like, well, you know, I'm going to have my son doing some due diligence, and while I'm gone, and when I get back, I'm going to talk turkey with Lee, and hopefully we can get a deal done, because he's like, I'm very interested. I mean, he told the guy from, is it GNS? Or G or something, the guy was building the Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, if I have you do a quote for me, I'm building this building with you. And he gave him the cards of the right people to talk to. So, I mean, he's like, I'm ready to go. I got another project. I just finished one in Bloomingdale, Illinois. I always have to say that slowly because I get Bloomingdale and Bloomington confused, the one that's by Carroll Street.
Right.
So he showed me pictures of what he did there, and it was like, would be a very nice fit for us. So keep your fingers crossed, because that would be nice to get that going and get that completed. And grocery stores, again, continue to work with grocery stores. Again, Lee is indicating that he is some user, but it's kind of with the gas station, like, okay, so let's... But I continue to work with people as well. 777. So 777 Motorsports, they have moved in. They are now working. They're working through Yamaha. Did she come and see the plans?
No, she hasn't come to see the plans, okay. But she did email me her permit.
Okay.
Application.
Okay. So they are open, but they are not selling motorized vehicles at this point, but they're selling parts and accessories. And they're working through Yamaha to get their approvals, and she's very positive about that. So that would be a great little asset to our downtown. Virtues in Motion, she's, I don't know what's going on with that. I thought they would be going vertical soon, but that's sort of been, you know.
It seems like that one is taking a long time.
Yeah.
That's a dance studio?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the name of it. I know about 104B.
Yeah, I mean, they're
next to Merlin's, right?
Yeah. No, so it was, you know, they put in the footings, and then they put the gravel, and then it grew up with weeds, and then they started again with plumbing.
They ran into a little issue connecting to the water. They ended up connecting to a line that had been abandoned a while ago, so they had
Yeah, it just seems like there have been some delays on that.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, when we were talking to the guy from the donut site, I was down there, he said that one of the issues that he's been dealing with is the electric company. He said ComEd has not been, it's been difficult because they're not even going to have electric to the site until the first week of December. So that they can...
For Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Wow.
So, because he said it was supposed to be open, like, October 1st.
Yeah.
And he said, like, it's going to be probably end of the year.
Yeah, can we put pressure on them through our channels, through the mayor's office?
We have a couple of projects that we're waiting on ComEd for.
Obviously, there's already power behind
it. Yeah, it's got to be power in that area.
It's just making the connection from the line that services...
Yeah.
It's
Fountain View. Fountain View Plaza. Yeah.
I mean, there's power servicing it. They just need to get it over to them.
Depends.
I agree.
Depends on their voltage and amperage too.
Yeah, what they need because they
exceeds what's out there.
Yeah, because they're running at least 660 that the mechanic shop there.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the size lines they're there, they might run a separate tap from their
I think that's the case too. And then they're actually making sure, I think when they bring the electric, that they have it to serve for the service station that's there too. I think that they're bringing the electric for the whole.
No, I do know that they're having issues with their electricians over there as far as time-wise. They're all employed by that construction company, and the guy that owns the construction company are pulling their electricians to go work in other areas on larger projects that needed to be done more timely, and that's why there was like, I need my electricians here because that's everything else is inspected with electrical because it's not done yet.
Yeah.
And ComEd won't even touch it until the panel's set, so.
Yeah. It's kind of a catch-22 situation. So.
Well, let's keep tabs on it then and update council then.
Sure, and I'll tell Brad, we just talked about there's a couple other projects we're waiting on ComEd to finalize and final out, just do a burn test, make sure the lights are working. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard from them.
Langston Pediatric, they moved. You know, they were in the We Grow Kids space, and now they're in the building that was the former West Suburban Bank building. They're the first tenant in that building, so that actually kind of gets that going. So they have moved and are now operating south of 71. Kendall Crossing, which is the hard corner of 34 and 47, we actually have another repeated meeting with a user next week, and that person is actually flying in to meet with us. So I think that's a really good sign because it's a multiple visits and coming to fly into Chicago for this purpose is a good sign. So I'll just keep you posted on that. So hopefully we'll have something to talk about very soon. Kendall Marketplace. The junior box that we've been working with has now officially signed off on the agreement, and the lease is out to be executed. And it's going to be a great announcement. So it's going to be a retailer, national retailer, that is recognized throughout the United States of America and embraced by the community of Yorkville. So
is a junior box similar to, like, Marshalls or something?
Marshalls or PetSmart, yes.
And they're looking to go in line... Do they know?
Inland, yes.
Can we say which of the two sides of the buildings? Is it the Dick's Sporting Goods or is it the Kohl's side? Do we have
It's
idea?
Between Kohl's and Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay.
So
it's in that neighborhood.
It's in that vicinity.
So it's off that far entrance on that end?
Well, no. It's,
we come in by Dick's, Target in that entrance?
The center bridge or the fourth passage, and then you got Kohl's. You're saying it's in the middle?
Yeah, it would be somewhere. Between, right, like the center bridge that you drive through. Going toward Home Depot, toward Dick's, but not between the Center Bridge and Dick's. There's actually a space there. It's actually three stores that would be combined together to make the space that these people require. And there will most likely be an addition or some sort of a change to the back of that space to allow for shipping. So, for this retailer.
Sorry, now those individual ones don't have an actual dock. They
have
delivery doors.
Correct.
So they need a dock.
They need a dock. So they're larger. So. More in the Marshall's PetSmart Ulta size. That's considered a junior box. So All good. They did, you know, the owner there was going to have a golf outing for the brokers, to try to get brokers out to the community to take a look at the shopping center. And nothing against Yorkville or nothing against the shopping center. It was just basically golf. I mean, people don't really want to golf. So he was going to offer people, honestly, he was going to offer people a gift card and golf and lunch, and people have busy lives. And it was the end of September, and to be quite honest with you, on September 29th, it was monsooning rain that day. And I was over at the golf course because I was working on some stuff with Push for the Path, and I said to the channels, like, oh, thank goodness we didn't do that golf outing today, because we would have been, like, soaked, because it was just really not a good day. So, and O'Reilly Auto Parts is preparing to open, so... industrial development, I know all of you know that I've been working with an industrial user, and I can tell you that things are, you know, it's been a good week. Well, this week's only, it's only Tuesday, but it's been a really good series of discussions, and the landowners are actually engaged now, so brokers are talking to brokers, and actually, it's the Hammond boys that own that property. I had a lengthy conversation with Dave Hammond today, so, you know, everybody is wants to see the same thing, which would be success and, you know, a project come to Yorkville. So that's a very good thing. That's the most I could ask for right now, so so that's a good thing. And then regarding Go For It Sports, which is the official name, I need to start calling it that. Go For It Sports is Justine Brummel's project. That's also moving along nicely, and we actually had a very lengthy meeting today with some important players, and you know, to get all the pieces together. And it is her desire to break ground in the spring and to be open like next year or in September. So that would be her timetable. So and things are going very well with that. So. Other than that, I attended a couple of conferences. I was on TV and radio, showcasing Yorkville, and good news is the Push for the Path golf outing was incredibly successful. We actually made $48,000 in profits for our golf outing this year, which is $10,000 more than we had previously, was our previous record. So, yay, Push for the Path. So, so it was a great, great success.
Can I just ask a question about the O'Reilly Auto Parts? I mean, nothing against auto parts stores, but there's like three in that area.
I know.
Is there a real big market for auto parts in this area or something? Because I'm like, I mean, I don't care. I was surprised to see it. Because we also have Napa.
Oh, I can figure it out.
I mean, I really don't care, but right. I just was like...
I figured they must have their business plan must be like a Walgreens type thing where... You know, they're not afraid to put them right next to each other.
You're on, Ken. That's it. And it's like, and when a retailer kind of goes into that mode, they pop up everywhere. If you look in other towns, you see many places. It's kind of the Mattress Firm thing.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't it make you crazy? Uh-huh. And now they got Morgan Fairchild doing the commercials. Did you see that? I was like...
Yeah, I just was surprised. And I knew it was going in. And then when I saw it, like, with the sign on it, I'm like, okay, so there's AutoZone...
Advanced. And O'Reilly's all within.
O'Reilly. Yeah. And they're all, like, right there. Yeah.
And O'Reilly's heavily invested in this region as well right now. They built a massive facility that just completed this past summer up, I'm trying to think of what like municipality it's like. It's Aurora.
Yeah, it's Aurora, because it's on, is it, like, North Aurora Road?
It's on North Aurora Road.
Who built that? You said O'Reilly's?
O'Reilly did.
A massive... warehouse. I mean, we're talking 200,000 square feet. Mm. So they've invested heavily. So for them to come into Yorkville, I'm not surprised. Obviously, Yorkville's doing well.
Well, what I wonder, though, will it hurt? Will they be able to live? Will somehow these guys push each other out?
I think you have loyalty for their patrons to their respective locations. You know, Napa guys, O'Reilly guys, they'll drive to the place they want.
Yeah, if you take your car to a mechanic and your mechanic fixes it, if he doesn't go to the OEM part manufacturer, he buys Napa. Napa makes 98% of their money purely delivering to small mechanics. Okay. So if you went to any mechanic in the area here, even if it was Midas over there, they fix them. The parts come from Napa. Yeah. They deliver them right to the person, or where O'Reilly's Advanced and AutoZone shines is in you know, if Chris is going to change his oil, he's not going to go to Napa because he walks in there and they look at him like, what are you doing here? Because you're not a mechanic.
Yeah.
And you go to one of those places and there's, what do you need help with? Let's show you how to do it. We'll test everything. Napa doesn't do that. And they've been around serving farmers and real mechanics forever. And O'Reilly's has got a way better, from what I understand, is they have a way better, like, part supply chain for you. So if you want an air filter for your car, a special kind, you go to Advanced AutoZone, Advanced or AutoZone, they'll go, how we can get it in 3 weeks, or I'll have it to you 2 days.
Yeah.
Or same day.
I think O'Reilly is kind of showing is a superstar out there, and because they're really all about it. They're about it.
So. Put a warm on
yeah, I really, I don't really care. I just was surprised. I'm just like, man, this is crazy.
Well, I know, because people, and you can't really stop them. It's like, what's happening
no,
in the market?
Not at all.
It's like, well,
yeah, what's going on? Yeah. Like, what is it that, you know, is triggering all this? Because I was surprised when Advanced went in.
Yeah,
I mean, it's good. It's good, but I just was surprised.
Yeah.
Well, you got AutoZone in Plano, right? Isn't that an AutoZone?
Yeah.
Yep. So they're—I mean, they just put—I don't know. It's really weird.
I guess I thought, well, maybe they know something that I don't know. Like maybe those businesses weren't doing real well. I don't know. I was just like, wow.
Like AutoZone in Plano did a recent renovation.
Hmm.
Well, also because it's I mean, they built their building. It's not even like they're renting
right,
a spot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, they're
that,
here to
yeah,
stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Advanced rented
hopefully
from George Hanus, you know, or by Walgreens. And
right.
And, so.
And AutoZone, I think, probably is renting in that area.
Actually, that's a condo building. They made that building a condo
oh,
building, and
okay,
I think they bought their building.
Oh, okay.
So they bought
sweet,
their little
yeah,
spot,
oh,
and then the
gotcha,
rest of that Walnut Plaza is, you know, Enterprise and the Pepe's,
mm-hmm,
and all
right,
that. Those are like a person owns that and then rents them out.
Oh, gotcha.
But I think what they did is they condoized that building and made AutoZone kind of its own little.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then individuals bought the rest of the suites, and then they do
what they want. No, so there's like two owners. There was AutoZone, and then there was like this person. It was called Grow Bar at one time. I don't know what it's morphed into. And then, so that is like the owner of the shopping center, the balance
oh,
of shopping. And then there are all other tenants.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, it was a good, it was a really good month. September went by, like, in a,
soon.
October
sure,
is following in case.
Great.
Same thing, so.
Tick-tock,
tick-tock. Anything else?
No.
Item number 5, EDC 2016-53 Downtown TIF, redevelopment of 202 to 206 South Bridgeview.
Okay, this is a inducement resolution, so not to be confused with the redevelopment agreement at this point. This is for the property on that southeast corner of Hydraulic and South Bridge Street. The owner, Anna Jerzeski,
mm-hmm,
all right, is here. What she's proposing to do is take her approximately 5,000 square foot building, which has a lower floor and an upper and the main floor, so it's a total of 5,000, 2,500 each floor. And she's looking to do some renovations to her building. She's looking to reorient the building's entrance off of 47, which most of the people who are redeveloping in this area noticing that it's better to have that main entrance not on 47. She's looking to upgrade the doors and windows, do some replacement of her furnace and her air conditioning system, and then prepare the building for a long-term commercial tenant. At this time, she doesn't have a time frame of when these repairs or upgrades are going to occur, so the point of an inducement resolution is just to preserve her right in the future when she does decide to move forward, that we have it in place, she can begin some of the construction, and we can then negotiate the terms of a redevelopment agreement. We did this for the law office building. I think the original one that we did was in 2012, and they came in later with a plan. We don't have any hard costs, so this is not going to guarantee any type of funds that are going to be set aside or assistance. This is just as a placeholder for when she decides to move forward and we start that negotiation of the redevelopment agreement. And the resolution also has a provision in there that says that the undertakings are specifically contingent upon the city's approval of a final redevelopment agreement.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, basically, it's if any work is done between now and a redevelopment plan, it's subject to us approving that
exactly,
work as being part of the TIF eligible funds,
right?
Because I was going to ask what the timeline was. Mm-hmm. You answered my question of what the timeline was for redevelopment plan, but it sounds unknown yet.
I'm waiting to see who would be interested in it to know which way to go with it. It's pretty much just gutted right now, the inside.
And you mentioned, Christy, this, you mentioned upper and a lower. It's a one-story, but it's a split.
Yeah, but it has a good basement.
Okay, but there is a basement that's in there. But the actual main floor is split.
No, it's all on one floor.
It is all, yes. But it has a basement.
And she would actually rent that portion to the tenant as well. That's why we included the $5,000.
I'm surprised there's a basement on that one.
Yeah, so it's built like a bunker.
It's a bomb shelter. It was built for Dixon's by Perkins Builders back during the Cold War. They said that the floor, I've been told, is like 5 feet thick. Because they were going to live in the basement, I guess.
When
the Soviets attacked?
Pardon me?
When the Soviets attacked?
Whatever.
Carved into the bedrock, probably.
Probably carved into bedrock.
It's wild. There's so much concrete down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one thing. I had always wondered why that building didn't take off. And someone had told me once that, is it because the entranceways or something aren't exactly ideal? Is that what you're going to be trying to fix? They said, because come in, it wasn't easy to break it apart. I've never been
there. Since the expansion of Route 47, it really messed up the front entryway. I mean, because I think you feel kind of like you're taking your life in your hands. I've worked out there doing windows and whatever to try to keep things up. So I'm just kind of waiting to see who might be interested and what they would require. And the doorway in the back may have to be moved.
That's
because you come in the door and there's basement steps, right when you come inside.
Okay.
But Frank Wilman has been working with me, and he said that would not be a problem to move the entryway over or whatever, he said, or move the basement steps if they had to.
Okay, and then the other question I had there is, utilities are a problem if you go south, right? Do they still have, are they still a problem, like, in the back part there for her, too? Or don't we know that for sure?
I'm not exactly sure where that
right, because Rowdy's and them can't build out.
Oh,
because of the
water main that goes right behind there. It affects all those properties.
Okay, okay.
She has the most amount of room from her building.
Right,
because
it
kind of
jets out,
like,
yes. Yes.
Still, it's the.
It runs the length of the building.
It's all an issue there with the utilities.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Me too.
Doesn't lock anything up. So.
Yeah, I'm fine too.
It's on record.
So this would go to the next city council. Did you want it on consent or did you want it on the regular agenda?
I'm fine with consent.
Yes,
consent.
Yeah, consent. You can pull it up. All business? None? Additional business, I actually have one item. I attended the IML conference.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I went to the two economic development seminars. One was on branding. Unfortunately, the people that were giving the information on about branding was Oak Forest, Oak Park, Lombard, Mundelein. Those are all big, compared to us, but that was interesting. And then the other one was about retail and future, how it's going. And this
I went
goes,
to that one.
Did you go to that one? Mm-hmm. And this one actually, because remember, Ling, how you said it was 3 or 4 minutes? It was the person that was giving that seminar said, actually, that's not the top thing they go by anymore. They go by your cell phone. They're able to pick a cell phone from a satellite or whatever, and they can literally look at phones in an area, and that's their first criteria, as they said now, when they put retail development. They did mention that with grocery stores, it's a little harder because people want to see the meat, produce, that kind of stuff. But they said you're able to put, they focused a lot on putting a smaller building where you have that stuff there, and then your box goods and things that don't go bad, you can warehouse that in too. So it was a couple things I thought, wow, you know, because I thought right exactly, go, wow, they're going to tell me the same thing about the 3-minute ride. And he actually used 4 minutes. I think the gentleman was from Retail Coach, just if that matters.
He was from Retail Coach.
Yeah. But and I also met with Buxton Stop Me when I was in there because I talked to them a long time ago about stuff.
One of the conferences that I went to, they were talking about, you know, retail and how it's changing so much, like the Best Buys of the world, that big stores like that or anything that sells like soft goods like for your house, that they're going to have like one item. Like they might have an inventory of like one or two items because people order online or people will have it shipped to the store. And then literally they will ship by the end of the day, you know, like, okay, I want a new Keurig coffee pot. Okay. So it'll be like, well, here's the Keurig coffee pot, and which model did you want? I like that one. Okay. And we'll just have it sent you up. Like, by the time you get home, the Keurig will be there. So, like, that's where...
It's like service merchandise.
Like service merchandise.
Yeah.
Remember filling out the little forms as you walked around the store?
Yeah. That'll come on the belt, you know, and be like...
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just a whole different...
Because they mentioned that that kind of irks, like Best Buy is a good example. People come in there, and they'll sit there, and they'll go through, and they do it at Walmart, I guess, too, a lot. They said that they'll play with all the stuff. Right now, you said you'll see people flashing their phones on the part numbers, SKU numbers, and stuff.
They order it,
and they leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they leave, and they go and they shop online.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I do
that all the time. Yeah, pictures.
So it makes you wonder how, at some point, though, people at Best Buy they suffer in that deal, but.
Best Buys are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
That's what I was just going
to
say.
Their footprints are getting smaller and smaller. Because they just, I mean, think about it. You used to go to Best Buy, it was like an event. Because you got to go look at all the movies and all the CDs. And they don't even have that stuff anymore.
But there are, stores like Best Buy. One thing I've noticed with them, with dealing with them for technology, is they host a lot of stuff in their warehouse part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And the retail space is getting smaller.
Yeah.
Because I had to buy something that wasn't on display, but I bought it online because they had it in stock in the warehouse. Same building.
Kind of like the car parts now.
It's not on the shelf. So if I'd have walked in the store, I would have never known they had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I went online, bought it, they had it in the warehouse. It's a difference of how they operate.
It's a whole different, like, the way we all do things is going to change. And if you think about, like I said, I was just 59. Kids nowadays, little, like Peter's kids' age, they're growing up with a tablet, you know what I mean? It's like a whole different world.
No, it isn't really. It's old, because I'm older than probably everybody here. It's like going back to the catalog age when we were kids.
Oh, you're right.
You get all these catalogs, only now you guys are online instead of the catalog coming to your door, you're looking it up. So we're really going back a step.
Getting this year's catalog at our house every year was an event.
It was?
Yeah.
We got it
for love it.
For toys?
I circled the stuff and
go to the toys. Yeah, I do remember that.
My sister and I used to
get this year's catalog. It was awesome.
We used to get about five or six Aldens and Sears and Montgomery Wards and I don't know. And my sister and I'd sit on the couch and go through each page when we were really little and pick out who was getting what. You know?
Oh, wow.
But it's...
I'm still waiting for everything I circled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are, too. It was a good thought. It was a game.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
But you go two steps forward and three steps back, kind of.
Just different.
Well, how you look at it.
Everything old is new again.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Catalog again. It's just that's on a computer now.
I
just had a question. The banner signs that we allow, the flag signs, draw a blank on that. The
temporary banner signs? Oh, wind feathers.
Yes, the wind feathers. Do we have a limitation on quantity on a certain property?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Would you?
Who's got a lot of wind feathers?
I notice it over at, that's where Salsa Verde is. There's four of them for, Steve's Bakery, four of them for Salsa Verde, and then there's one other one. So
the nail place?
It might be. It's a smaller one.
Steve's Bakery or something?
Yeah, well, Steve's has four, Salsa has four, and then there's another user out there with one. And I know at River Run, that's the one at Cannonball and 47. They'll typically, for one of the users, have three or four. But what really I noticed about it was they're spraying like a 5-foot circle of total vegetation killer. Because they don't want to have to trim and mow adjacent to it. So they spray this circle and kill all the turf. Mm. And the banners are one thing. Now they're also killing the ground so that they... And it looks bad. I don't have a problem with the small maintenance area, but they're putting them in kind of like permanent signs now. And
but you know what? The banner's worth then if they cut your attention. They're after, right?
I drive it every single morning and every night, so I'm sitting at that stoplight.
It's
like
those big googly guys.
Right. Well, yeah, that was...
Every time I see one, I plug it in, shove it in my trunk, and
they still have that Salsa Verde, so that's in the background behind the trees.
Right. Don't say.
So I don't know if it's something we look at, and I don't know. We don't have a limit, obviously.
We have a time limit, but not a number. So those temporary
signs. So if they pull them down, and then how long do they keep them?
They have 6 months to put in a temporary sign before they have to come back and get another permit.
But they can just renew that permit? So ultimately they can be a year-round.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they probably do pull them down in the winter, though, right? They'd be destroyed.
Potentially.
Sometimes they just get destroyed.
But they have these foundation or these spikes in the ground, so they just put them back in and they assume that they're going to get a renewal on their sign. So I don't know. Maybe. I just noticed there were a lot of them because there are nine.
Yeah,
between three buildings right there. So it seems like a lot. But if we don't have a limit, they're compliant. So
sometimes they're not. We catch them and then they have to take them down and get a permit and then they put them back up.
It's so hard because, like, a Steve's Bakery, they're trying to make sure that people know that they're there. And you want to try to help them. Right. And the biggest thing that drives me crazy about them is they don't take credit cards. I'm like, why don't you please?
Wow. Which I get that, you know, and that's where I think the 6 month signage comes in. But after that, if they just continue to renew it, then we have year after year after year of four signs that are 6 feet tall by 2 feet wide. You know, 12, 24, 48 square feet of additional signage.
I know.
In addition to what they already have.
So, credit card. I mean, there's
I don't know if it's something we think about considering just kind of reinforcing the time limits. I have no problem helping them. You know, Steve's Bakery is a great example. Establishing. Yeah. But
it's like you want to give them every opportunity. I don't understand why they won't take.
I know I get stuck on the ATM on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, like, if you go in there, like, okay, so
sure
I only have $10 in my purse. It's like
put an ATM machine in there.
That's what I was going to say. Banks will do that.
Yeah.
Free.
But you got to have enough volume, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the world of that. I mean, you use your phone at Starbucks, you know.
Okay. Meeting adjourned. I got 6:44.
All right.
Thank you.